Hi, welcome back to Redefined by Love. My name is Jennifer, if you're not familiar with me. I'm the host of Redefined by Love. And if this is the first time that you found this podcast with us, we are all about redefining our perception of ourselves, each other, the world around us, and ultimately God, by how amazing and magnificent and life-changing His love can be, is in our lives, right? And I am really excited today because I have one of my very favorite, beautiful young people that I've had the opportunity to meet over the past, I don't know, what has it been, about 2-3 months, Madison? With me. It seems like lifetime, but it's really only been a few months. I met Madison and her husband, Brilliance, which is, in and of itself, is an amazing name, right? But I met them because they actually walked into the prayer meeting. One of our church members had met them at a grocery store, was it? Or Dollar General?
Dollar General.
Yeah, and prayed for them and invited them to the prayer meeting. They came in and instantly, like, there was a connection with not just me, but our senior leader and other members in the congregation. So Madison has an amazing testimony that is just full of God's glory and grace and power, you know, for transformation of lives. And so I'm going to let Madison share about herself and just talk to you guys about whatever she feels led by the Lord to share. So Madison, take it away there.
All right. Thank you. Great introduction, by the way. So, man, I don't even know where to start because my testimony is just kind of crazy, like everything that God has brought me through. I guess just a little about me now. I'm 20, about to be 21 next month, yeah. And my passion is teaching, working with kids. I'm married, been married since I was 18. Just had a baby recently. He's very cute and sweet.
Yes.
Anyways, but so about my testimony. A little backstory is, like, my family, the family I grew up in, like, God was never super important. Like, they kind of had the mindset, like, I believe in God, but I don't live for God. I live, like, more worldly. So when I grew up, I did not really know anything about God besides, I guess, maybe religion, like what I've heard in religion and, like, you know, only remember going to church like a couple times when I was like maybe 3. But anyway, so I actually ended up getting into, let me pick up the baby real quick. I actually ended up getting into a lot of craziness as a teenager. And I think maybe I was just trying to find an escape from like my life, because all my life had a lot to deal with, like, trauma, like, you know, abuse, witnessing abuse, especially with my mom and her relationships and stuff. So I feel like I wanted to find some sort of identity and, like, power. And, you know, I think that's what, like, drew me into witchcraft. And at first it was, like, white magic, which white magic is not good either, but it disguises itself as good. Like the Bible says, you know, the devil comes as an angel of light. So what it teaches us is to believe that if we have good intentions with the witchcraft that we're doing, the spells and all that stuff, then it is good, you know, there's right. Nothing wrong with it. And they even try to convince you of a lie that you can be a Christian and do white magic, which is kind of crazy. But you know, I got into that super young. I was 13 when I actually started dabbling in that stuff, and I dabbled in it all the way until I was like 17, until God met me where I was at and delivered me from all that. But, you know, yeah, it started out as white magic, but it eventually, the more I got into it, the deeper I went and deeper I went, and it ended up getting darker, more to the dark side of the witchcraft, where I was actually, you know, spiritually manipulating people. Like, I was actually going into, like, the spiritual realm and manipulating people, and to get stuff that I wanted, and I was, like, manifesting, you know, just selfish stuff for, like, myself. And I don't even know. Like, if I honestly got into everything I did, it was actually insane. Like, it was actually insane. Yeah. Only God knows, because he's delivered me from it. But, like, yeah, it was actually insane. And so I got into this relationship, actually. It was a bad relationship, but this is kind of the story going into, like, how God delivered me from it. Mm-hmm. I got into a relationship with this guy. He became, like, my idol. And I really just would use witchcraft on him, like, almost every day. Like, it was actually insane. I would use witchcraft on him, like, every day, spiritually manipulating him. And it did work. Like, he really started to almost, like, worship me, in a sense. And also, he was a Christian, but he was, like, lukewarm. So I knew that the way that I could manipulate him spiritually is to get him to sin and get him to sin with me. And I could always get him to do that. And that's kind of like, you know, the devil, he always is looking for a foothold, right? And he's always looking for a way in. And, you know, I didn't even realize, I don't know why in my mind, I thought it, like, that was good, like I had good intentions, so it was good. Like, I don't know, like, why back then that was my mindset. But anyways, back to this relationship with this guy. You know, his family was super, super Christian, and actually one of his family members told him, like, they had gifts, you know, and they could see in the spiritual realm as well, and they actually told him, you don't need to be with her. She's not of God. And that's
isn't that funny?
And that is true, because, like, that family member was exposing me, like, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what in the world? And I was so angry because I think the devil was using me to try to destroy this guy, honestly, to get him like off his path. But the crazy thing is when I was in a relationship with him, I was like, kind of towards the end, I was trying to get to know, you know, a little bit about God. Like, I was open to the idea, but I still was just very turned off by, like, Christianity and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was, like, open to, like, maybe the possibility, like, okay, he could be real. And then after his family member exposed me, essentially, told him, and he took it seriously, because this family member, you know, they were always right about stuff. But anyways, the relationship started going downhill, and it started going downhill very fast after this. And the weird thing is, I don't know why I did this, but the weird thing was, I prayed to God because I was so desperate. My witchcraft was not working anymore. Okay. Right. I could not manipulate him spiritually anymore because I had been exposed. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll try to pray to God to get him to fix this thing, you know? Like, that was my mindset.
That's hilarious. Like, witchcraft isn't working. Let's pray.
Yeah. So then I was like, okay, maybe I can just ask Jesus and he'll just fix it for me. But yeah, and so that's what I did. I actually prayed to God. And what I said, I didn't mean it. And I didn't think that God would actually do this. But I think I knew it was kind of over, and I said something like, okay, if you're real and this relationship is not meant to be, just let it be what it is, you know, and let us part ways. But I thought me saying that, like, he would fix it somehow. You know what I mean?
Right. It was like, if I say this, you'll do the opposite.
Yeah. So And but then literally the next day he breaks up with me. And I was like, so shook. And I was like, well, technically God answered my prayer.
Right.
But, you know, it definitely wasn't the way that I like wanted him to or thought he was going to. So then I really started to be like, let me get more in tune with God. So I actually started reading the Bible, like after that. And I had absolutely no understanding, like absolutely, like I did not understand anything, but I would read, like, actually I was reading like several books, you know, in the Bible. I started from Genesis, I believe. And I was reading it in order on the Bible app on my phone. Because I just, part of me wanted understanding because I was like, well, obviously God might be real a little bit because, like, that's what I was thinking. He might be real because technically my prayer was answered, even right. though it wasn't what I wanted. And then shortly after that, it was so weird. I didn't know at the time, but later on God revealed to me. But I started just out of nowhere crying and throwing up for 3 days straight out of nowhere. And it was later on, he revealed to me that I was being delivered by multiple like demons.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That had, you know, got attached to me through all the crazy stuff I was doing. Cause you know, I was entering into the spiritual realm illegally because it wasn't through Jesus. So I was getting all those crazy spirits, you know, and also I was living in sin. So I had other, other crazy spirits on me too, but so, yeah, and it's, I honestly kind of tend to think, like, I think I would have met God, like, he would have, you know, obviously
sure.
pulled me out another way,
mm-hmm.
but I tend to think, like, if that relationship didn't end, like, when it did, I don't, like, I wouldn't have found God, you know, like, for a while, I don't think. I honestly think I would have still kept doing what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was working, you know, but God had to take that away. He had to take away my idol. He had to show me that essentially he was more powerful than me, because in my mm-hmm. mind, I was a God in a sense. That's what I thought. Like I had altars,
right.
like I built altars, but it wasn't to different spirits. Like some people build altars to spirits. My altar was centered around myself. Like I was my own God in a sense, you know what I mean? Like, and I kind of worshiped I really did worship myself. Like I thought that I was so powerful and like all this stuff, you know, and I was such a God hater. So it's just crazy that, you know, God took somebody like that. And, you know, now I have such a love for Jesus. I thank him for, you know, bringing me out of all that craziness and, you know, taking the blinders off my eyes, and allowing me to really see all the deception and, you know, how much better life is, you know, even though I don't necessarily control my life. But when I was trying to control my life, I was losing control of everything. I didn't really have control, although I thought I did, because at the end of the day, I was in darkness, and the light always defeats darkness. So, but yeah, God took me, and honestly, I would have considered myself to be a very like high ranking like witch, because I could do a lot of stuff spiritually. But God took me from that to like being higher ranking for the kingdom of God.
Right.
And it's just, I still think about it because, like I said, I'm not going to go into all the crazy stuff I did. Like that's just a little part of it. But
yeah.
But God saw all of that
mm-hmm.
and pulled me out anyways. You know, he delivered me anyways, and he was still leaving the 99 to find me, you know, and I hated him, you know. So, yeah, I guess that's that's really my testimony. And you know, then I ended up the same year after devoting my life to Christ, and I vowed that when I really started to find God deeper, I said, you know, if it's just me and you, Jesus, that's all that matters to me. Like, I'm not ever going to idolize it. I'm not going to idolize a person or get into that obsession or anything like that. Like, you know, I trust that if you have somebody for me, you know, that's great and wonderful. But, you know, if it's just, if I die with just you, then I'm good. You know, I got to that mindset. Mm. And then it could be my husband. And, yeah, and that was, you know, really, that was really amazing. And I really am thankful he did that. But, you know, if you could even ask him the first thing, like he was telling, like when we started talking, he was telling me all this great stuff about him. Like I'm going to college to play football, you know, I have good, you know, I have good grades. I have all these offers from all these different colleges. Like, you know, I'm like doing pretty well for myself. And I said, you know, that's great, but what's your relationship with God like? Because I was telling him I did not care about all that. I wanted to know that he had a genuine relationship with God. And he was at the same place that I was. And, you know, it just so happened, I think we've discussed this before, but he had just gotten out of a relationship where he had idolized somebody as well that same year, you know. And then God brought us out of those relationships and, you know, brought us to a relationship with him, with Christ, individually. And then he gave us to each other. And we've honestly been able to do a lot for the kingdom of God, you know, and it's all God just working through us, you know, especially for like the communities that we've lived in, especially when we lived in like Minnesota and we had these kids camps and we had, you know, God provided every single thing to be free for the kids that came to those camps, which was amazing. We got to share Christ with those kids every single day. My husband was preaching to them every single day about God, you know. And it was just beautiful. It really was. And just everything. Yeah. All the disgusting, crazy stuff that God has brought me and my husband out of, and he's turned it all into something, you know, beautiful. It's just, yeah, I can never thank God enough for that. And that's, I mean, that's really just my testimony. And, you know.
So, you know, I first of all, I want to say, I think that none of us can ever share everything we do. Like, if same, if I was to like say, I'm going to share my testimony and I try to share every single step of it, it would take me years, like probably, definitely hours, probably days. So I do understand that. And really the ultimate point of it is, you know, like you found yourself in these places where, you know, there wasn't life, but it looked like life, you know? So like the witchcraft seems like life at the moment, 'cause it seems like power, but I really found a lot of, like there's a lot of life on the thought of coming from like a background where to some degree you feel powerless, whether that's due to trauma or seeing other people encounter abuse or, you know, us ourselves having abuse. And then going the route of like, okay, well, this looks like power to me. So I'm going to embrace it. Right. And so I thought that that was a really interesting point. Like, do you feel like because you grew up in this environment where you did see your mom going through abuse and you saw this trauma, that it was kind of like you were saying, listen, I have no control over that, but I'm going to control my own, you know, life. I'm going to control my own space to like respond to that. But the thing is, I think that we look at witchcraft. So like you're giving a real like clear picture of like witchcraft, I think, of what we think of as witchcraft. And I'm sure there's a lot more you could share on that. But witchcraft is really at its simplest form, control and manipulation. That's the core of witchcraft. We think witchcraft is has to be like doing spells. It does include that. But the basis of it is that I want to control my environment, what's happening to me, right? Which often comes from a feeling of not being in control. Like you feel like things are happening to you and you're like, wait, how can I dictate what does or doesn't happen to us, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that we can do that through governing, right? In the kingdom and through mm-hmm. Holy Spirit and God's, you know, working through us. But to a young person, you said 13. You didn't know that yet. Like, so mm-hmm. you're like, wait, this seems like a way that I get to, you know, control things that are happening. Do you think that that kind of played into how you kind of ventured more that way?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think I said at the beginning, you know, like I just grew up seeing a bunch of craziness and I wanted something that I could control and feel in power of, you know. And that's
something I hear a lot. So I hear I've talked to several people that came out of like witchcraft. And it often does. Usually when it's funny because the enemy is sneaky this way, right?
Oh yeah.
But usually when we come out of like very, very traumatic and abusive relationships, mm-hmm. be it for ourselves, like I said, or as a young person, because as young people, and I think this is something like to the mothers, when we endure abuse and trauma and whatever, be it a romantic relationship or otherwise, our children are like, we like to say, well, he did this to me, but he didn't touch my kids. Well, he did. Yeah. Like maybe not physically, he didn't, you know, hit your kids or he wasn't abusive, but our children, because children are more, I'll use the word most people understand, children are more in tune with other people's emotions, especially their caretakers. So this would be why, if you're upset, and maybe you've experienced this, maybe you haven't yet, but you might get upset, and then next thing you know, little Brilliance is more fussy, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's used to this calm and serene and loving, just, mm-hmm. I don't want to use the word energy, but this loving feeling coming from you, right? And then in this moment, he's like, wait a minute, what's happening here? Like, I'm not feeling that, you know, and because they lean more heavily, I think, babies especially, I think they lean more heavily into like the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. I think they really are able to perceive, it sounds funny, better than adults are because they haven't been desensitized mm-hmm. to it.
Oh, yeah. No, and I absolutely agree with that.
He's probably like, wait, I feel this and I don't know what's happening here, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we're children, is my point, we do go through what our parents are, what the environment is having happen to them does happen to children. So at a young age, like a baby, you know, 13 years old, it's like, wait, this is not fun. I don't like this. So how do I make sure that I can control and stop these bad things from happening? Probably for you, but also probably for other people, probably for your mother, probably, you know, for your siblings. You probably wanted to stop it because you didn't want them to be hurt anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So my point is, most of the people that I talk to who have experienced like witchcraft or ventured in that direction, it usually follows a period of like these deep traumatic experiences, mm-hmm. because it's a false mm-hmm. it's a false sense of power. Mm-hmm. And I think your story that you shared is something that sheds light to us who, you know, like I never ventured into witchcraft, but I was witchcraft adjacent, I like to tell people. So I got into like the tarot readings. I got into like, I tried to do, and I don't want to offend somebody somewhere, but I tried to do yoga. And my spirit was like, like I felt this crawling thing. Like it, I don't know how to describe it, but I just felt this aversion to it. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped, I instantly was like, yeah, this isn't going to work for me. But I definitely got into tarot readings and started studying like chakras and, mm-hmm. you know,
all that, yeah.
All these, like, things that lead more into, like, Reiki and all these type of things. But it happened, just like your story, it happened right after a very traumatic and abusive period. I was in an abusive relationship, and when I was done with it, I felt that same feeling. I wanted to be able to control my life. And so I think that your picture of how the power of that, you know, because it what it was is it was definitely a spirit that you were partnering with, the spirit of witchcraft operating. So once that spirit was exposed, right, I found it very powerful, that part of your testimony, because once that spirit was exposed, it lost its audience. It lost its power.
Yeah.
And so do you think that that's like when we just look at like, because even if we look at other versions of witchcraft, because this is one, right, that we talked about, but like the control and manipulation is also a big thing. And that happens, sadly, in the church. And much like yourself, you mentioned you felt like it was okay because you thought you had the right intentions, right? There's so many of us that fall into this, you know, witchcraft is what the Bible would call it, control and manipulation, but we think that we're doing it for the better good. And for some reason we think if, oh, well, I'm doing it to protect them from this, or I'm doing it to keep them out of this, or I'm doing it to make sure they don't fall into this behavior. And we think that justifies it. We think that makes it okay. So do you think that exposing these type of things, like whether it's us that's experiencing it and we expose it, or whether somebody else comes in and says, look, this is what's happening and it is not okay. Do you believe that much in the same way that it happened with you and this gentleman you were dating, that that could really put a clamp on that power operating? What do you think about that?
No, absolutely. Because, you know, like I said, when I got exposed by this person and his family that, you know, had prophetic gifts that could see in the spirit, you know, I couldn't manipulate him anymore. It stopped working, like, spiritually. I couldn't manipulate him anymore. And I think, and I honestly think that person, when God revealed it to that person, that I was not of God, that I was working for the enemy, and the enemy was using me to destroy him, essentially. Take him away from God, destroy his destiny. That's what the devil does. I think that person started like praying about it. And that's what I mean. And then that's when I just couldn't manipulate him at all spiritually anymore.
Okay. So you really had you had completely lost your audience, really.
And I did try. Like, that same night that I prayed, I believe I did try to still enter into the spirit, you know, the spirit realm, and, you know, manipulate him spiritually, and it didn't work.
And that's this is a question I have for you with that, right? Because in my experience, now, this is not a hard and fast rule. I haven't been in ministry long enough to have a hard and fast rule. I haven't met enough people, should I say? Do you think that the fact that you, cause like, I know this, I've spoken this over you, like we've talked about this, you have a very high functioning prophetic, you know, mantle. A lot of times the people I talk to that have been involved in witchcraft, that's the case. Have you seen a correlation there between like, young people who do have that prophetic mantle, but they're not being, so it's like they have this natural, some people have this natural gifting that they are just born with. It's not something that is cultivated in a church. And oftentimes we experience like things from childhood, like, like we're seeing like angels and demons and seeing in the spirit realm. We know things we have no ability to cognitively understand or even process at very young ages. Do you think that plays a part in people kind of like being more open to like witchcraft, because it's like they experience the spirit realm, but they don't know how to take that and partner with Holy Spirit and mm-hmm. allow His power to lead them. So they try to lead and guide themselves, basically. And it's like, hey, I can do this, but they don't know they're partnering with a demon. So do you think there's a correlation? Because you probably know more people than I do that mm-hmm. have ventured in that direction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do think there is a correlation to that, because the enemy knows your gifts. And the worst thing for the enemy is that you step into your gifts and use it for the kingdom of God. And, you know.
Right, for sure.
So he wants to take that power away from God and, you know, put it in his kingdom, because, you know, he just tries so hard to just get what God has.
Yeah,
but, you know, he can just never be God. But, you know, these gifts that God gives us, yeah, when we don't know how to cultivate it correctly, and we just know, because, you know, I've told you before, like, yeah, I can see spirits, like, well, mm-hmm. I can see demons, I can see angels, I can see protection around people from, you know, God. And I, you know, when I touch people, sometimes I get visions, stuff like that. And since I didn't know God or have a relationship with God, the mm-hmm. devil did absolutely come to me because and try to manipulate me to just work for his kingdom and use that those prophetic gifts for darkness and for his purposes. So, because he knew if I ever stepped into that, it would be a threat to him. And same with, sure. you know, same with a lot of people, like these mediums mm-hmm. that speak to familiar spirits, like, but it's really, they do believe that they're helping people because they're talking to their dead family members, but it's not. It's demons they're talking to. But they have that gift to see in the spiritual realm. And I used to talk to demons too, you know, when mm-hmm. I was in witchcraft, and I thought they were spirits of light because that's what they lied and said.
Yeah, that's a really easy connection to make there. They're liars, you know. The devil is the father of lies, so we know that demons are going to be liars. So that's, you know, that's why I always find it funny when we watch like these deliverance ceremonies or whatever, and you see them asking demons questions as though the demons are going to tell them the truth.
Yeah,
like, I think that's weird, but that's a side note. I'm not gonna go there because that's one of my things, and you know, my things can be very long conversations. But I, you know, I was thinking about how you then said to just kind of like segue a little bit out of the witchcraft part of things, but how your deliverance. You know, your deliverance didn't come from you going to an altar and your deliverance didn't come from some minister, you know, speaking deliverance over you, even a live stream. Right now, I'm not knocking those things. I think deliverance ministries are very needed. I think we need to do deliverance differently in those ministries, but that's a, you know, a personal just perception that I have. But I'm not knocking deliverance ministry. I'm not knocking altar calls for the purpose of deliverance or healing, but I'm speaking how your deliverance came through the gate that is the word of God, right?
Yeah.
I think that that's a powerful part of your testimony because I can testify to the same. And I was in church and part of a ministry and had people that loved me and they prayed over me constantly, but it was actually the word of God. And it was direct encounters with the word, you know, like God himself that brought forth my deliverance.
Yeah.
So I think that's a powerful point that you've made, how you, even though, and this is the interesting part, right? Even though when you started pursuing the word, we have to say that you may not have been doing it, you know, for deliverance. You probably didn't even know you needed it. But you were just searching for truth, right? And your search for truth led you to the word, right? Which is truth, right? And through that beautiful, like that door that the word opens, right? Into truth, you got deliverance as a byproduct. So I would say, you know, that is one of the even more powerful than talking about like the witchcraft and stuff. A very powerful part of your testimony, mm-hmm. because I think sometimes we think, right, that, okay, we have to go to a church and we have to have somebody, you know, lay hands on us to get delivered. Sometimes mm-hmm. that is how God does it. But much like Jesus did it in many different ways during his ministry, you know, mm-hmm. he did it by sometimes laying hands. Sometimes he didn't lay hands. Sometimes he spoke a word. Sometimes he pulled, you know, the dirt and mixed it with his spit and healed somebody. Right. Mm-hmm. So just like that, we can't discount the power of healing or deliverance that comes through the word. So mm-hmm. I would say if you had somebody, you know, out here, like a younger person, even, or even older person, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I know I'm dealing with this stuff in my life. I know I'm dealing with these emotional things that are really difficult for me to manage. I have trauma in my background. Like, what advice would you give them? Is there any like scripture that you felt like was the most healing for you, or do you just feel like it was just scripture in general? Any advice you would give someone like that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it was scripture in general, just reading the word. Because, you know, God was looking for a door to come get me. And when he mm-hmm. realized that I was open to him and seeking, mm-hmm. because he's a gentleman, he's not going to force himself on us. But when he realized I'm open to him now, he rushed in and, you know, saved me out of all the stuff I was dealing with. Because, you know, the word is living, you know, and I did not really expect anything to come from reading the word. But, you know, yeah, but it is alive, you know, and it's changed my life. And honestly, there's something in every single part of my life since being saved. I could go to scripture I've read a million times and I could take another thing from it, because the word is living, and it will somehow apply and speak to me in my situation, because that's God speaking to us through his word. He is the word, you know. It's the word of God. So, that's pretty much, I think it's just the word in general.
I like to tell people that the word is a door, you know, okay. It sounds kind of funny to say it that way, but you know, like even a verse like John 3:16, that's a door. That's a choice, mm-hmm. That we get to make. Do we want to walk through that door that is the reality that, you know, God so loved the world that he, you know, gave his only son? Because that is not the reality that many of us see around us. Like, we see a different version of God preached, you know, to be fair. We hear, you know, so-called prophetic words that speak to a very different God, especially right now with the end times people all of that stuff. You know, it speaks to a very different God than one that loves humanity and creation so much that he would really give of himself in that way, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is a choice that we get to make. And I do agree with you fully that just being willing, you know, and also God knows our hearts. So God knows a lover of truth, right? Paul was a lover of truth. Mm-hmm. Even when he was Saul, he was a lover of truth. He just didn't know it. He had been presented a false truth that he thought was a real truth. Well, when he encountered truth himself, you know, in the person of Jesus Christ, it shattered everything that he believed. And when you were sharing that, it brought me to that scripture that, you know, how you came to the moment is really not relevant, to be honest with you. How you got there isn't the important part. The important part is when you got there and he presented you with truth, right? That you, as a lover of truth, chose to accept truth, right? And I would know you just from like meeting you and getting to know you and, you know, everything that we've, you know, talked about and seen, you know, you walk through and everything over the past couple months. I would never connect the person you are today to the person that you describe because I didn't know that person. So yeah. That speaks to true transformation. And that transformation only comes through
Christ. Truth. Yeah.
He is truth. So when he comes in, you know, the lies, they lose authority, they lose power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing I thought about was how even when you prayed that initial prayer, you know, regarding this relationship, you kind of thought, okay, I'm going to pray this, but God's going to do the opposite. You know what I mean? So you didn't know how much he loved you at that point. You didn't realize that, you know, like God loves us immensely and therefore he's going to do what we ask as long as it's within alignment with what's actually for the best for us. Mm-hmm. Right. And it wasn't best for you that this relationship continue because this relationship ended. You went through this transformation with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You met Brilliance, who I've met, amazing young man, just like you're an amazing young woman. You two, I know you're going to do massively unbelievable things, you know, for the kingdom of God in your generation. Mm-hmm. And obviously it will affect other generations, but you are a voice that he's raising for your generation too. And so, all of that required that relationship to end because the state that you were in at that point, you could not have led people out. But the transformation, you know, there's a verse that I love to think on, and it's in Ephesians 1. In the Passion Translation, it says something about your lives will become a walking advertisement.
Yeah.
So we become the walking epistles. We become the walking story of his power. And that happens through transformation. So your life is now transformed. So God has given you the power, even without saying anything, even without talking to people, even just by existing, right? Yeah. God has given you the power to be a walking advertisement of his love, of his grace, of his glory. Because I would never meet you and think, oh, this is a girl that, you know, struggled with, you know, be it identity issues or whatever was the grounding for that. I would have never thought that upon meeting you. But this is what transformation looks like. So one last thing I like to always say is, like, if you're talking to somebody that is in witchcraft, right? Mm-hmm. They have ventured into this thing. Maybe they're deep into it. Maybe they don't even know how to get out because that's a thing, right? That happens. Maybe they are in this place that feels very dark and feels very permanent and they don't know how to navigate it. You didn't really have a family member that you can go to and say, hey, can you pray with me? Because they didn't know. Yeah. Like, you're going to be the family member that leads them out, right? Mm-hmm. So what would you say to someone like that, just like, if you could say, like, this is what God is telling me, because I know you're prophetic. I know you have those giftings, right? That's one of my gifts to recognize that. But what would you say to people like that? Like, just anything God is putting on your heart to share?
Yeah. And I have talked to, you know, people that have been in witchcraft, you know, and God's, you know, God has blessed me because, you know, God told me that he would send me back into the enemy's territory where I was brought out of to bring other people out. So that's kind of the people that I just tend to attract, actually, is, you know, people that's still into that stuff or that have been led astray to that stuff. And, you know, often I tell them, you know, I'm not some you know, high and mighty person trying to look down on you, like you probably, you know, because I felt that's the way Christians were towards me when I was in that stuff, that they judged me. And I said, you know, and I would just tell them, like, I'm not that person. I have been through it. You know, I did everything you did, and I was always empty. There's really no hope in this. You're just keeping yourself in this bondage, you know, and you think that, you know, it's all this stuff, but it's really not, because, you know, the devil's just is a master deception, you know, a master of deception. And, you know, basically I tend to share my testimony. Like, I was you, you know, I was probably worse than you. And I really relate to Paul in the Bible. You know, he says, I'm the worst of the worst. You know, and that's how I, you know, I feel like that was me. But, you know, God led me out of it, and he gave me this truth. And I didn't come out through religion. You know, I came out through having a relationship, finding that relationship with Jesus and realizing everything I thought about, you know, God was wrong, you know, until I got to know him for myself. And then, you know, I actually had more, you know, peace and more all the stuff I was trying to attract with the witchcraft. Right. I was trying to attract peace and joy and love, you know, that was missing in my life. It was filled when I found Christ, you know. And that's kind of just what I share with it, you know, these people, you know, men and women, you know, because I've met men in it too, you know,
for sure.
So,
I think that is, you know, a beautiful picture. And, you know, my takeaway would be, you know, the relationship, you know, I've said for many years, religion could not save me. Religion could not heal me, because I've been exposed to religion since I was a child, but I tell people I did not meet the person of Jesus Christ until 4 years ago. In my, again, much like you, in my car by myself, there was no minister there. There was no one to pray on me. There was not even a, you know, worship, you know, band playing. It was just that face-to-face encounter with Jesus. So much of the same way, the religion did not, you know, like it may have felt for a minute like it helped something, because it was most religion I would place in positive thinking category. And that sounds really mean, but a lot of preaching and stuff these days is just positive, you know, affirmation thinking. That didn't have the power to save me. What did was that face-to-face with Jesus, and yours came through a prayer, and yours came through the word, and then it just opened up wider. And, you know, and just like in leaving, just tell people a little bit about your life right now, like what it looks like. If you could describe your life right now in a couple of sentences, how would you describe it?
I would describe it as you for God's glory, you know. Because everything that he has done since I met him in that place and he brought me out of that place, he's used me for his glory. You know, he's brought me in places I wasn't qualified to be, you know, and allowed me to help people, just used me, you know, as his vessel. And it's never me, it's all God. But yeah, if you said just a few words, for God's glory, that's it.
Yeah, and now you have a beautiful, beautiful baby. You have an amazing husband. You and him have one of the best unions that I've seen. I was married at your age. We did not have that type of marriage. It was very dysfunctional. But you have your husband. You have your beautiful baby. You have, you know who you are. You're not dealing with, you know, questions of identity, which a lot of people your age are, you know, in your generation. That's a thing that the enemy has come against pretty viciously. So just showing that picture of transformation, like Jesus is not the tool, he's the destination, but that destination is the land of milk and honey, right? That land is the land where you can reap the harvest, and that's what you're reaping. Like, you're reaping the harvest right now, and you'll continue to. So I want to thank you because you got baby brilliance there. He's such a good little boy. Like, he's not yelling or fussing at us. And we've had mom for an hour almost here. So I want to thank Madison, you know, for joining us today and sharing, you know, some of that beautiful wisdom that you've learned and experienced. And the power of restoration that God has had over your life is just mind blowing. And I'm glad that you got a chance to share with us today. And you have any final thoughts? Got any final thoughts?
Yeah, just glory be to God. So that's it. We'll leave it at that.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. So we'll see you next time on Redefined by Love. In the meantime, you guys have a great day, great weekend, great week. Bye.
Bye.